This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mike Tyson training videos, that's what it's come to here on After Hours. The training and the fun have just begun. I don't know if I keep talking about it, will I be more intrigued? I think it's a total sham. I honestly do believe that it's going to be over quickly and Jake Paul's in trouble. I don't think he can hang with Mike Tyson, but I don't know. I might have to find a way to watch it considering that it's going to be at AT&T Stadium. They better hope it's more than a round and all those people jam into the stadium for what turns out to be a knockout or a TKO in 30 seconds. Don't.
Want to hear the most expensive seats at the moment?
Yes.
So the most expensive seats right now range from $4,000 to $6,000.
Who would pay that? Well, I guess celebrities who just want to say, I was there to see Mike Tyson's last fight, or I was there to see Mike Tyson at 58, right against Jake Paul. But I'm telling you, he looks trim. He's clearly been working out. He obviously didn't forget how to punch or how to spar. It was only a 10-second video. But yeah, this is what Mike Tyson does. I talk for a living. He boxes. He hits people and knocks them out for a living. That's what he does. If you're a plumber, well, actually, I could use one right now. Oh, no. So Bob swapped out a part with one of our bathroom sinks. The plunger that fills up the sink, you know, you drop it and it fills up the sink if you're trying to keep the water from draining. That piece was broken. So he went to the hardware store, he got a universal kit, and he replaced it to make the plunger stand up. So it wasn't standing up by itself anymore. It was disconnected from the lever that you pull between the two handles, the hot and the cold. Anyway, I turned on the bathroom sink, or turned on the water on Wednesday morning when I got home from work, and suspiciously I hear water dripping behind the sink. Babe, can you come in here, please? Maybe I'm hearing this wrong, but doesn't that sound like dripping water to you? Turn on the water. Oh, yeah, it's just running out the back.
Oh.
Right. So, and don't ask me. I know that nothing about it. He went and he investigated it, and he determined that it was because the part in this universal kit was not large enough, so there was still a space in between the part and wherever it fits into the pipe. Again,
so
don't ask
universal.
Me. Not for ours, apparently. Yeah, it's an old house, right? So things just, there's no universal parts that fit a house from 1951. So anyway, can't use that sink because I think I would have rather had it just stop up in the sink. We'll just gather water in the basin.
Just bail.
Just bail. No, you could reach down and pull the stopper up with your fingers. Yeah. It's just you can't do it while you're washing your hands or anything else. So yeah, I definitely could use a plumber. Anyway, if you're a plumber, well, this is what you do, right? You can answer all the technical questions and you can use all the technical terms and you've got the tricks and the shortcuts and maybe you could do it in your sleep. Well, Mike Tyson, that's him. This is his craft. Can you imagine Mike Tyson doing anything else? I know he's had some dabbling in acting, but let's be fair. That's only because he's Mike Tyson, because they were paying for Mike Tyson, not because they wanted a great actor.
Right. Like The Hangover, he's got a huge role, but his role is being Mike Tyson.
Is Mike Tyson, exactly. Right. And any other time you see him in commercials, in promos, in features, any other time, it's not for him to be someone else. It's for him to be Mike Tyson.
He can't be anybody else. With that exactly. voice, he's so recognizable.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Like, Mike Tyson was born to be a boxer. There's nothing else Mike Tyson could do.
No, I can't see him as, like, an accountant. No.
Of all things.
I couldn't say it.
I suppose he could have learned a trade. I guess he could have been a plumber himself if he really applied his mind to it.
I could maybe see him as a plumber. But a fighter just fits him so well. I'm not sure how he got started in fighting, actually. I should look into his story more.
Maybe. I bet there are documentaries out there.
I bet.
Anyway, this is Mike Tyson's craft, and Jake Paul's in trouble. Elaine says on Twitter, A-Law Radio, of course it's at Jerry's World. Yes, it is. Of course it is. It's at AT&T Stadium, and yeah, my point is if you pay $7,000 for a ticket, if you pay $400 for a ticket in the nosebleed section, that can't be a good seat.
Horrible, I would imagine.
Right. How can you see anything?
How big
from way up there
is a boxing ring? What, 10 yards most?
10 yards?
Less?
I don't think it's 10 yards.
Probably less, yeah. Eight, six
well,
yards?
Is it going to be regulation size? That's the thing. Let's go. Regulation size boxing ring. I'm looking it up. These are things that I do not know. Regulation size. All right, here we go. Google's our friend. 6 meters by 6 meters, so 6 square meters. So if that's the case,
it's about 6.5 yards.
Right, we're talking, for those of you who don't want to do the conversions, 16 and 24 feet, a standard ring between 16 and 24 feet. The platform of the ring is generally 3 to 4 feet. So you're up a little bit, but it's not like they're going to be elevated. Unless they're going to do something crazy like a platform at a concert where they raise the platform.
Just have them suspended.
Yeah, right out. But could you imagine? And then with one fell punch, Jake Paul gets knocked out and flies out of the ring.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Right.
Now there's intrigue.
If they have a safety net like they do for, say, acrobats or trapeze artists.
That would be insane.
That would be. I would sign up to see that. If they were suspended. Or if they were on this really tall tower that was no larger than the actual boxing ring, and if you get knocked out, now this might be better for WWE where they knock each other out of the ring, but if you get knocked out and you fall against the ropes, you better be careful. If you fall through, you're looking way down.
How about no ropes?
No.
That's, need ropes?
No. You can't have no ropes.
Just no ropes. Just open arena.
No. No.
No?
No. That's too dangerous. That's overtly dangerous. This is just the threat. Oh, okay. This is just the threat of danger. It hints of danger and daring.
But if someone
intrigue.
Doesn't fall off, then what has it all been about?
Raising up the platform to give it an edge, attention, but also so that people in the nosebleed seats can see a little better.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Oh my gosh. So anyway, if you pay $400 to go to AT&T Stadium on July 20th, it's in July, and you see Mike Tyson knock out Jake Paul within the first 30 seconds, do you feel like you got your money's worth?
Probably.
You do?
If you
got a full-on knockout,
if Mike
not a
Tyson,
TKO, but like an actual physical knockout.
Yeah, if Tyson knocks out Jake Paul, that would be a viral moment. That would be pretty sick. That'd be worth it, I think. Even the other way around, too, honestly. Not that I'm rooting for anyone.
It would be worth it for $400?
It would be cool. That would be a
moment. Or $6,000?
And if Jake Paul knocked out Tyson, that would also be a moment. But I think it would be bigger the other way around. Because everyone, I feel like, will be rooting for Tyson just because of history and no one really likes Jake Paul.
Oh. I only know he's a YouTuber. That's all I know about him.
He wasn't. Yeah, he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
On YouTube?
Yeah.
Oh. You talk politics?
No. Oh. He was just like, he was like a prankster, but he wasn't really funny.
Oh.
Like he would do like kind of just mean and like stupid stuff.
So that's why he's moving to boxing?
I guess. Yeah.
Okay, got you. All right. Well, that's not until July. Coming up on Sunday, we've got the NCAA selection shows. We've also got St. Patrick's Day with the food, the drink. Which one's the greater attraction on Sunday? I got to tell you, this is a little bit like the type of underdog and upset that we root for in March Madness. St. Patrick's Day started out getting just beaten to a pulp by Selection Show. In fact, Selection Show at one point had about 90% of the vote. Now, St. Patty's Day is mounting a comeback. Don't call it a comeback. St. Patrick's Day has pulled within 8 percentage points. Oh, watch out. Watch out. Mama said, knock you out. I feel like we need that song when we talk about Mike Tyson. Anytime we talk about Mike Tyson. I'm telling you, St. Patty's Day is going to overtake the Selection Show. Now, see, it depends. If we can get some food, some Irish food, I'm all in. It's just that you do not want to go to an Irish restaurant on St. Patrick's Day even try to do takeout. That is the worst idea ever.
One time on Cinco de Mayo, you brought it up earlier, trying to get Mexican on Cinco de Mayo. Never got it. Waited at a Moe's, you know Moe's? I don't know if those
is that Mexican? Tex-Mex?
Well, yeah.
American Mexican?
It is. But I mean, I thought maybe it'd be, you know, you're not going to get into a restaurant that day.
Right.
That night. So I went there. And this was actually also during the pandemic. So everyone was trying to do something. Waited for 2.5 hours. Outside of the Moe's, in the Moe's, they're like, it's coming. And we had nothing, where are we going? It was the pandemic. There was nothing to do. It was like the funnest thing we did all week. Was go to Moe's. But we never got the food. And I paid for it and everything. That's also why I waited, because we had to like get
a reserve. You paid for it and you never got food?
You had to reserve a slot to like be there. It was like order between 7:45 and 8:15 p.m.
I hate the pandemic.
Yeah.
4 years ago. Oh, heaven, some of the things that we did.
But like I'm saying, it was like the funnest thing to do that night was go to Moe's and wait there for 2 hours to not get food.
Wearing masks outside?
Oh, of course. And everyone was afraid to go into the store to like check on their food because it was, you know, you couldn't really do that.
Well, what was their excuse when you didn't get food?
Just too busy. Too much going on. They gave me my money back eventually. I called the next day. But there was too much. They just didn't. I'm sure I wasn't the only one. There was hundreds of people who didn't get anything.
Hundreds of people. It sounds like a Chick-fil-A on any day but Sunday.
Chaos.
I do not understand the draw. I think Chick-fil-A is great.
Delicious.
The chicken sandwich is great. I love the pickles.
Fries are good.
Right. All that is true. But why is there a 2-hour line every time you even drive by a Chick-fil-A? And this could be 11 o'clock in the morning. It could be 6 o'clock at night. I do not understand why you never see a Chick-fil-A, at least the ones that I've ever been to, and this isn't just in the Northeast. Why do you never see a Chick-fil-A without a 2-hour line?
No, I can second that.
It's delicious, but it's not the best food option on the planet.
No, it's not worth waiting in line
I don't get
lunch
it.
For, but...
Is it just because it's trendy and you can say you went to Chick-fil-A?
But, like, they're everywhere. It's not even really a specialty anymore.
Well, there's a new one in my county, and I'm not kidding. The traffic spills out onto the highway.
Well, I'm sure.
This is a 6-lane highway, and it's divided, but the traffic gets bogged down. You can see it from a half mile away because there are cars waiting to turn off the highway into this Chick-fil-A parking lot. And any afternoon or evening, and when Bob goes to the gym, he's up there too. It's a sea of brake lights in the parking lot, and it's a line out onto the highway. And I think the food's good, But I wouldn't say it's the best chicken sandwich I've ever eaten.
Chicken sandwich, yeah.
Right. We're not talking about some novelty. It's a chicken sandwich.
Is there any Popeyes or Raising Cane's by you?
I've had Popeyes before. I don't think I've ever had Raising Cane's.
I never had that either. There's none by me. But there's a Popeyes, and that one's line is out the door all the time.
Compare that to the Boston Market that just went up in my neighborhood. I swear there's not a soul that's ever there. They just opened it, and they could be giving away food, and I'd never see anyone there. But Chick-fil-A, you buy the basic. It's just a plain chicken sandwich.
That's it.
The roll's not that good. It's got pickles. I mean, I guess the sauce is okay, but
Chick-fil-A sauce is good. I'll give them that.
Still, though, I don't get it. Enough for 2 hours?
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Again, not a knock on Chick-fil-A. No one at me. I think it's good food.
Eat Chick-fil-A any day of the week.
Right.
Except for Sunday, of course.
Exactly. Right, not Sunday. But I don't understand why people would wait that long. I really do think it's the novelty. You can say, I waited in line for 2 hours for Chick-fil-A.
You can Snapchat it. You can take a picture of it. Right? Yeah. I mean, that's what people do now.
I think it's the trendy thing.
It is. It definitely is.
So maybe the day to go is Sunday, St. Patrick's Day, because no one would think to eat Chick-fil-A on St. Patrick's Day. I mean, the pickles are green.
Well, you can't Sunday.
Oh, true. Good point.
Always gets me. She'd always be, I always, during football season, I was like, oh man, I'll sit down with a nice Chick-fil-A and football. Can't do it. Can't be done.
I told you I'm going to a wedding where they're serving Chick-fil-A, right?
No.
Yes. That's their reception meal. So maybe, just maybe, after I eat that, I will change my mind. And I'll decide that Chick-fil-A is also the greatest fast food that the world has ever seen. Maybe.
It's up there. But it's also
up there.
It's also the old.
But for 2 hours?
When you try to go inside.
How hungry are you after you sit outside the Chick-fil-A for 2 freaking hours?
At least the one by me. The line in the drive-thru is around the block. But then you're like, oh, I'll beat the line. I'm not going to sit in my car. I'll just, whatever. I'll park and go in.
It doesn't matter.
The inside's even more crowded than the line.
Yeah.
Than the drive-thru.
I once went with my brother's family because they love Chick-fil-A. Again, I like Chick-fil-A. This is not about. In fact, I think their business practice of committed to staying closed on Sundays is great. They clearly have not hurt themselves in a business way. I mean, financially, they're still a boon. Anyway, I remember we did that same thing. We did not do drive-through. The drive-through line was so long. In fact, now a lot of them have 2 drive-through lines, and they're both dozens of cars.
And they treat you like blocks ahead, at least the one by me. Like, so right when you pull in, there's someone taking your order and you're paying. So you didn't have to go to the window and order it. They're trying to speed it up as much as possible.
They are. I remember we decided to go inside, and it was a madhouse. There were queues. There were wall-to-wall bodies. There were people everywhere. It's good. Again, it's good, but is it worth 2 hours? Someone tell me why. Why is Chick-fil-A worth a two-hour line? I would be dying by then. I'd have to bring snacks just to get to Chick-fil-A.
Just to hold you over to lunch.
You have to start at 9 o'clock in the morning if you want to have lunch.
I never, if I'm in the area, there's not one remotely near me, but if I go to like a certain spot, like I go to the mall, there's one by that area. So if I see the line and it's kind of short, I'll pull in. But if it's usually, like it always is out the block.
Kind of short, meaning what?
Meaning like it'll take me 10 to 15 minutes, which is
I've never seen one that long. Or short, excuse
That's
me. I've never seen one
for
that short.
Food, even if you think about it.
People wait in line at Starbucks. They don't want to get out of their cars.
Starbucks by me is ridiculous. Yeah, the street.
Right. They don't want to get out. I much prefer to go in. When I'm at McDonald's and the drive-thru has more than 2 people,
it's easier, right?
I go inside. But that doesn't work at Chick-fil-A.
No.
It's a mob scene.
It's even worse.
Well, good. I'm glad they're making money hand over fist, but I don't get it.
It's good.
Maybe I'll change my mind. When I'm in Texas for this wedding, maybe I'll change my mind. You never know.
Try it.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
When's the last time you had it?
Well, I don't sit in two-hour lines for anything.
The breakfast is
the
good.
The last time I actually stayed in a two-hour line was at an amusement park. This was Six Flags down in the Atlanta area. It was the Batman ride.
Was it worth it?
Yes, but I don't wait in two-hour lines. Lines make me break out
for
in
chicken.
Hives. For chicken. It's good chicken. But you can make that chicken at home. I don't get it.
Probably.
Get your own pickles.
You know, you could buy a
you can buy the
tub
sauce.
Of sauce, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm missing out. Maybe Jay and I are missing out. Someone explain to us the draw of a 2-hour line at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. I mean, like we're saying, it's good.
Honestly, I think it's supply and demand. I think they've created a monster. Because there are always lines, people want to know what's the fuss all about.
You think since they're closed on Sunday, people have that like FOMO? Like, oh, I got to get it before it's Sunday.
Oh, no. I definitely think it's supply and demand. Yep. The less supply, the more the demand.
Probably right.
It's brilliant.
They're sparse.
They're brilliant. Did you say sparse?
Sparse. Sparse. What does sparse mean?
Sparse means not available everywhere or only in a few select locations.
No, sparse. Yeah, I said sparse.
Sounds no, like you a... said sparse, but it's sparse.
Oh, I said sparse. No. Anyway.
Chick-fil-A's are sparse in our area.
That's it.
So I can understand maybe more of a demand, but a two-hour line every time you look?
Every time.
Every time.
Every hour of the day.
The other fast food places, the other joints, they must be highly envious.
They are.
As good as McDonald's fries are or Wendy's Frosties. There's not a two-hour line. Nobody would sit in a two-hour line at Wendy's.
No, oh my gosh, absolutely not.
So then why Chick-fil-A? Oh my gosh. I'm telling you, it's because it's trendy. It's because you can put it on your social. I waited 2 hours for this chicken sandwich.
I think you might be onto something with the supply and demand thing, how there's not so many of them, so where there are them, they're just that busy.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Hmm.
Sparse. Their business model.
They're sparse.
They're sparse. Sparse tire.
You are such a goof. All right. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Kirk Cousins. I don't even think we can get to all he has to say in the next segment, but we'll try. He's got some kind words for the Vikings fans, but he chose the Falcons for a reason.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Winning is kind of the ultimate piece that you say, where do we have the best chance to win football games? And that's really such a big part of it. You know, certainly you pray about it. You try to kind of see where the Lord's leading you. But ultimately, you know, you have to focus on the winning. And then continuity is a big part of it. You know, where can you hit the ground running?
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Kirk Cousins speaking right before the Super Bowl and certainly left the door wide open for any team to come and make him an offer. He told the Vikings on Sunday he would try free agency, and he did. Didn't take long before Kirk determined that Atlanta should be his new home. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You may or may not have heard him make waves with one of his comments about when and how his camp was in touch with the Falcons even before the quote-unquote legal tampering period. But first, a farewell to the Vikings fans.
So today's a bit of a bittersweet day for me. I'm in Atlanta now, and a little later today, I'm going to be signing a contract with the Falcons to officialize the agreement we've made. But that also means that I've got to say goodbye to Minnesota and to the Minnesota Vikings. And that's what makes today tough. And so just wanted to put out a little video to say thank you. First of all, thank you to the tremendous teammates, coaches, support staff, management, and ownership of the Minnesota Vikings for the way that they have come alongside me and supported me. Quarterback really doesn't have a chance without great people around him. And for six seasons in Minnesota, I had great people around me. And I don't take that for granted. It was a privilege to quarterback the Minnesota Vikings, and a privilege that brought much responsibility. And so I wanted to be accountable to all those people who work for the Vikings and put in the work that was needed to deliver for them. And so I'm very grateful for who they are, for what they represented, and the difference they made for me and my family. And then I'd also just like to say thank you to the people of Minnesota, the people of the Twin Cities, and the people who we did life with on a daily basis around our great state of Minnesota. I just want to say thank you. You meant so much to my family. And as a result of your impact, Minnesota will always hold a special place in the hearts of me and of my family. So thank you, and God bless.
Kirk Cousins delivering a message, a fond farewell to the Minnesota Vikings fans, and that on Twitter. I could imagine, not just the fans, but the franchise as a whole, I could imagine that there definitely is a gratefulness for not just the way the Vikings paid him and gave him two opportunities, two contracts that were fully guaranteed, gave him opportunities to resurrect his career. Remember, he had been kind of stuck in a rut there in Washington where they franchise tagged him twice. They couldn't get a deal done. Finally, he ends up in Minnesota where, yeah, there were a couple of bleak seasons, but also pairing with Justin Jefferson, of course, that would help any quarterback, you would think. But they really did have a good rapport, and he had some impressive numbers over the last couple of years. The reason the Vikings could not capitalize on their NFC North Division title in the 22 season was not Kirk Cousins. Their defense was god-awful, just terrible, especially their passing defense. And so they end up getting ousted early in the playoffs, and that was disappointing. But he had some really good seasons, and I'm happy for him now as he heads to Atlanta. But why did he choose the Falcons?
In Minnesota, it was trending over the last couple off seasons to be in somewhat year to year. And as we talked with Atlanta, it felt like this was a place where, you know, if I play at the level I expect to play, that I can retire a Falcon. And that was something that really excited me. And that's certainly the goal. And you got to earn the right to do that. But that was exciting to feel like I could get that opportunity here.
A lot of people believe that Kirk Cousins is the missing piece and that he will put the Atlanta Falcons, when I say over the top, I only mean over the top back to winning. All right, so this past year, they have the quarterback issues, Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heineke, neither one the right fit. They have a lot of young weapons. They end up bringing in Raheem Morris because Arthur Blank, you know, wanted a different approach. Raheem is very well respected. So they went from Dan Quinn to Arthur Smith and then now back to a defensive guy in Raheem Morris. But again, Raheem, well respected, well liked, commands a locker room, credibility, and real personable as well. It reminds me, now, D'Amico Ryans didn't have the same coaching resume, but reminds me a little bit of the invigoration around D'Amico Ryans. Now, D'Amico, a first-year head coach, Raheem's had a couple of opportunities. He's taken over for other fired head coaches more than once. But I think the excitement around him and the enthusiasm and the technical skill that he brings, those are great. But he admits they needed a quarterback. So now Kirk Cousins is there, and he says he wants to be able to retire a Falcon. He doesn't want to have to move again. And Minnesota wasn't in a situation where it would or could offer him more long-term security. He was done being year to year. And I definitely understand that. When you're younger in your career, you'll take a flyer here or there. You'll do a prove-it deal. But he's a veteran. He was by far the most attractive free agent QB in this class. So timing has a lot to do with it. And he didn't want to have to bounce around anymore. We'll see whether or not he retires a Falcon. But there's a lot of guaranteed money in this contract, $100 million. They don't have to keep him all 4 years. But to not keep him 3 years would weigh severely against their salary cap. Now, in order to be completely comfortable, he needed number eight from his new tight end, Kyle Pitts.
He was funny about it. I said, I'll write a check, whatever, you know, foundation. What? I'm not going to let you just give me the number. I want to make it worth your while, you know, make a donation, whatever it needs to be. And he said, I just want, you know, targets every game, you know. He said, he was joking, you know, he kind of winked. So
I wouldn't be joking.
I joked with him. I said, good answer, good answer.
Seriously, you want number eight? I want eight targets a game.
I think it was very serious.
Okay, that's a lot for a tight end. What would you take? Would you take four guaranteed targets a game?
Four guaranteed a game?
Four guaranteed a game for the number.
Yeah, I take that.
And would you keep it a secret from the coaching staff?
Gosh.
He's a veteran quarterback. He's got to have some freedom and some say-so at the line of scrimmage based on what he sees. Could you legit explain or justify four targets to your tight end a game, as long as he's on the field? He has to be on the field in order to get the number.
I would do that deal.
He's Kyle Pitts.
He's
We're
Kyle
not talking
Pitts,
about,
right.
I don't know, name a quarterback. Hunter Henry. I mean, sorry, no. Well, that was kind of disrespectful. I can't say no disrespect. But we're not talking about, you know, a young tight end in his prime.
A third string tight end.
Wait, you wouldn't say Hunter Henry's in his prime, would you?
No. I
okay.
hope not.
I hope not. Maybe his family hopes so. It's not. I'm just picking a random tight end. Okay, there's an upper echelon of tight ends in the NFL. There's what, maybe a half dozen who are really good.
If that many.
Yeah. Last year was a down year for tight ends. Travis Kelce would tell you so, although he certainly picked it up in the playoffs. But if it's Kyle Pitts and you want the eight, and he wants targets, I think you could probably negotiate on the down low for four targets per game.
I think four is a fair number. Pitts might ask for eight, like, or six.
Yeah.
I think
fair. I'll guarantee you four.
Four is a good number.
And I'll go sit in line at Chick-fil-A for you.
Oh, gosh, take it. What else do you want? You want my car?
It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Last question for Kirk, of course, is the recovery from that torn Achilles.
I'm feeling great. This is my first surgery of my life, so the rehab process has certainly been a first for me, and it's really been up and to the right for the first 4 months. It's been a really positive process. I've enjoyed the rehab. I'm optimistic that I can be full speed of practice before we break for the summer, and that's kind of the goal I've set for myself, but we do have a long runway, and what I've been told going back to when I first injured it was that you don't rush it. You let time, you know, do its thing, and it's going to take time to fully heal that tissue, but as a competitor, you know, you want to get back as fast as you can, and certainly I'm trying to do that.
I'm excited for him. His wife Julie grew up in Atlanta, or the Atlanta metro, and apparently, this is kind of funny, I didn't know this, he spent part of his off seasons in his father-in-law's basement in the town of John Creeks, Georgia. Will you have him talking about that? Oh, I want to hear it.
We feel that this is a little bit of a home away from home, and I think that helps with the transition because there is so much to get acclimated to. And the fact that, you know, I stayed in my in-laws' basement last night like I have for six off seasons, it's just familiar. It's what you know. I made the drive from Johns Creek up here, and I, you know, I haven't made the drive to Flowery Branch much, but I understand how to get around, you know, the perimeter of Atlanta. So that's a little unique in the familiarity we have, and I think that's a positive.
All right, so here's the deal. Is this a finished basement? It better be a finished basement. He's a multi-hundred millionaire. That's not even a term, but you know what? I don't have that kind of money, so I don't know what the proper term is. He's a really rich professional athlete. I sincerely hope it's a finished basement, not just some cot in the basement.
Could you imagine? I feel like the Falcons would have to do something at that point. If they're now star prize free agent is sleeping in a cot in a basement, they'd have to step in and finish the basement for him.
Well, true, except that I can imagine Kirk has the money to finish the basement himself.
Sure, but the Falcons do it for you.
I like the fact that he's not too snooty to stay in his father-in-law's basement. That's fantastic.
Well, we learned on Quarterbacks, the show from Netflix, that he doesn't even pick out his own clothes. So.
Yeah. Sounds like Nick Saban. His wife does everything for him. Well, did while he was coaching.
Would you like that? Someone picking out your clothes?
Oh, I thought you meant that as in, you like that?
No. I see, though.
No, I'm too much of a control freak for someone else to pick out my clothes, but I do ask other people, what do you think of this?
Oh, sure. Of course.
Right. That'd be like someone telling me how to do my hair. No. But maybe that's why he's still a starting quarterback at 38 or 30, sorry, mid-30s, because he's focused on football.
I guess so.
And he's intense. But also, I love how he is with his kids and the fact that he doesn't take himself too seriously, right? All the thing with the gold teeth and the chains last year. And also, I really appreciate that he is tough and will take a hit. I mean, not that you want him taking hits, but he gets pummeled and he just gets up. So he's really tough until the Achilles, of course. One more, because I promised you this. He did drop a tidbit about maybe some previous communication with Atlanta.
When you get here and you look around, you think, boy, there's great people here. And it's not just the football team. I mean, I'm looking at the support staff, meeting, calling yesterday, calling our head athletic trainer, talking to our head of PR. I'm thinking, we got good people here. And that's exciting to be a part of.
Huh. I'm sorry. Was that before or after the legal tampering period started?
Yesterday, calling our head athletic trainer.
Huh. All right. Okay. I'm gonna. We'll allow it. We'll let it slide. Yesterday, meaning Monday. Yesterday, meaning
Tuesday.
Well, that's inside the legal tampering period. All right. It's okay. It's okay then. It's within the rules.
We don't always agree.
Oh, hello, Roger. Actually, speaking of Roger, and this is just kind of funny because we're talking about off-season changes. Did you hear some of the rules changes that teams proposed? Oh, it's great. You're going to love these. Okay, we'll do that coming up next. These are from specific teams in the NFL. Their ideas for changing NFL rules. It's fantastic.
I won't be biased at all.
No. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
We need to work with our coaches and our competition committee and those across the league to find a way to keep the kickoff in the game. It's an exciting play. It's important for us. The same for punts. But when you see a higher injury rate for that play, you can't ignore that. And we haven't yet found that solution.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It is that time of the year when NFL teams can propose changes to various rules. It doesn't mean they're happening. Don't worry. But they can propose changes to various rules just to see if there's interest anywhere else. And if they can drum up some support for these changes, potentially they can make their way to the competition committee for an eventual vote. So now NFL teams are bringing up some of these changes that they would like to see in the rule book. This would be applicable in 2024. And you hear Roger Goodell at the Super Bowl as part of his state of the state address, delivering some of the very vague responses that he technically or typically does, I should say. And they happen to be about the onside kick or how they might change some of the rules on kickoffs because they're worried about a higher rate of injury. And certainly there's pushback to those types of things. People believe that football's getting too watered down, blah, 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 blah. Well, the league released on Wednesday a list of all the proposals that have been submitted by the various teams. And this is because the annual meetings come up in Orlando later this month. Of course, right in the middle of March Madness, we must have NFL league meetings.
Aren't they all just together at the Combine?
They were just together at the Combine. But this is the start of the new league year.
Of course.
Happy New Year! That was Wednesday. And so now they must get together. And it's not just the ownership or the GMs, you know. It's not just the commissioner's office. It's everyone. It's the coaches. It's press conferences. It's actually breakfast. Remember, they've started doing breakfast, these roundtable breakfasts. And one morning it's the AFC coaches, and the next morning it's the NFC coaches. And everybody's expected to be there. Oh, yeah. It's never going to end. We're just going to keep hearing from NFL teams all the way through the offseason. All right. So here are some of the different proposals. The Eagles want an onside kick option that would allow a team to keep possession after a score. This is crazy. It's so convoluted, but the team would be able to keep possession after scoring if they convert on 4th and 20 from their own 20-yard line. So that's their onside kick alternative. Instead of doing an onside kick, lining up for it, potentially having guys get hurt. But how often do you guys get hurt on onside kicks? The ball doesn't go that they don't pick up enough speed running 10 yards to really have a massive collision. It seems kind of tame to me. Anyway, the Eagles want to set it up where you have a 4th and 20, essentially, from your own 20-yard line. And so for that reason, they would make it what they think is more competitive. And honestly, right now, onside kicks really do favor the kicking team because the kicker can place it exactly where he wants it, blah, blah, blah. It really is the luck of the draw. But yeah, the statistics have shown that teams very rarely recover an onside kick that's given to them by the other team. Only 2 of 41 onside kick attempts were recovered by the opposing team last year. So the Eagles want to do a 4th and 20. Convert on an offensive play from your own 20-yard line. That way, you eliminate the onside kick. It's a little more... Would you say it's more challenging? Maybe a fairer playing field.
I was going to ask, do we know the odds on a 4th and 20 conversion?
Right. I mean, I don't know why you'd call it a 4th and 20. It would just be a play from your own 20-yard line to try to get into the end zone. But that seems like
is that really it?
A stretch the play.
Or do you have to get 20 yards and then it's your ball?
Right. It's a 4th and 20, and you have to convert it from your own 20. So if it's a 4th and 20, you only get one shot at it.
So
it's not like you get a set of downs.
So if you get to like the 39, you lose the ball. But if you get to the 42, then you get to maintain it.
Yeah, if you're 4th and 20, from your own 20-yard line, meaning that you're going the other direction. You're going the length of the field. So you're on your 20-yard line. If you complete a 4th and 20 or convert a 4th and 20, you keep the ball.
Yeah.
So instead of an onside kick, so it's not like they're putting you on the goal line.
Right.
Instead of an onside kick, you get to keep the ball. Huh. It feels like it could, I don't know, how much time do you have late in games, right? Where you convert an onside kick, the point is you need the ball back quickly and you need to go score again. Huh.
I mean, the onside kick being like not great odds of getting it is also kind of the point. Like, you're not winning the game. You need a miracle onside kick in order to get yourself back in this game.
2 of 41 that were recovered by the kicking team as opposed to the opponent, right? So that's not great odds. But would this be better odds? A 4th and 20 from your 20? Interesting.
But I'm saying I don't mind that it doesn't have good odds because it's not supposed to have good odds.
Yeah, exactly. How about don't put yourself in a three-score hole in the first place?
Exactly.
Okay. The Colts want to be able to challenge any foul that's been called on the field, as in any foul.
Like holding?
Yeah, any foul.
Can't do it.
Right.
Can't
so remember, we had expanded replay going back in 19 when pass interference was added to the list. Oh, it was such a mess that they got rid of it quietly the year before. The owners did not renew it. But the Colts, Jim Irsay, they want to be able to review any play, any foul, and it's not limited to what the NFL allows at this point.
The game will take 12 hours.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.